Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Son, check it in this.
Legend has it, he ate glass and pounded
he
his
ate glass
before waging war. He announced on the Monday night game that
he ate glass.
He decreed that all quarterbacks should wear dresses. He was Count Dracula in cleats, the remorseless linebacker for Pittsburgh, Transylvania.
And that's my cue to start the NFL recap show for week number 5 of the NFL season. And guys, welcome to Tuesday night Hard Rocket Sports. That's right. You're not hearing a repeat. This isn't a misinformation. This is an actual episode of Hard Rocket Sports. That's right. Every Tuesday night from 7 to 8. We bring you the best of the NFL week, and this week we highlight week number 5. Hope you guys have had a great couple of days since we saw you on Thursday. Remember, we are here Tuesdays from 7 to 8, Wednesdays with the Pastor Mike Show, Mike Passamonte, Carl Graham, Wednesdays from 6 to 8, bringing you the biggest news from all around sports and a special bit of fantasy football as well, and the regular mothership on Thursday nights where Jeff Towinski and I bring you the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course the world of sports. And we've been doing it for 4 years plus, well over 200 shows. And again, guys, we bring you this 3 days a week on the Hard Rock and Sports channels. Remember to check out our sponsors on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Check our webpage for all of our sponsors, including Earth 3 Guitar Straps, Jay Giacio, the official realtor, of the Hard Rock and Sports Show. And, of course, RFL Records, which is the sponsor of the show tonight and all the Tuesday night shows. And we thank John and everybody up at RFL Records for sponsoring us. And, guys, let's get right into it. I will bring in the guy, the master of ceremonies, the guy who brings this show to you every week, the host of the NFL Recap Show, Mr. Jeff Towinski. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, man? We're talking too much here. We need to get right down to business. I got questions for you, Tom. There's a lot on this season so far.
Okay.
I got a lot of questions about your beloved Big Blue.
Oh, my God.
A lot of questions.
Oh, it's your show. You take it away.
All right. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do most shows and stations. We'll do a recap after 4 weeks. But we're not most, are we, Tom?
No, we're definitely not most shows. No,
we are the minority, so we're going to do it after 5 weeks.
Oh,
just
wow,
sounds
yes.
More special that way, don't it?
Yes, with the quarter show at the 5 week mark. Yes, it's perfect for our show.
Yeah, there you go. So without further ado, what we're going to do is we're going to start at the AFC East. We're just going to go by team and see who's overachieving, who's underachieving in our estimation. And see what we think and what we expect in the coming weeks. So are you ready for this one there, Thomas?
Jeff, I am born ready for this.
All right. Let's just get a pen. All right, let's start with the New England Patriots, Tom. They're
okay.
3-2. They've won 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is a team that's been a perennial AFC East powerhouse for how many years?
Yep.
at 3-2, do you feel as though that they're underachieving, overachieving, or are they playing exactly where you thought they would be at this point in time?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, if you'd asked me this 2 weeks ago, I would give you a different answer. Today, I would tell you they're about where you expect it. Pretty much the last few years, Jeff, 4 or 5, they've gotten off to 2-2 starts. They're 3-2, 3-0 at home, 1-0 in the division, 3-1 in the conference, which is huge. 3-1 in the conference is huge right now for this team. So I will tell you that they're about where they are, where I expect them to be at this point.
Tom, let me real quick. I mean, I don't want to spend too much time on each team. We got a lot to go through. Does this road to the Super Bowl go through New England again this year?
That's a very interesting question, and I will tell you that I'll take the leap. I didn't think so a month ago. I will tell you, I still believe the road to the Super Bowl goes through New England.
Well, you know what? In another few weeks, we'll have a better idea as this unfolds a little bit right now, because there's a lot of teams hovering around that 3-2, 2-3
yeah.
mark. So as of right now, it's kind of hard to say, but you never know what's going to happen in the NFL. But let's, without further ado, let's go move on to the Miami Dolphins, Tom. Also 3-2. They're also they've lost their last two. They started out of the gate rather well.
Yep,
but they're kind of losing steam right now, I think. What are your thoughts? I mean, they haven't broken the 100-point mark after 5 games, so they're not even averaging. They're averaging just about 20 points a game. But what are your thoughts? What do you see with these guys?
Well, you know, Jeff, one hand will tell me that they started out 3-0 and they've lost 2 in a row, like you said, so they'd be on the downtrend. But this is a team I expected to be dead last in the division. I would have bet before the season that they would be dead last coming at this point. And I'll tell you that I still don't believe in them, but I think they'll hang around and give you a better showing. So, but I would say they're overachieving for what I thought about before the season started.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, man. I had them pegged for pretty much dead last in the division also. So with 3-2 at this point in time, I would say that they're overachieving. But let's keep it going with the Buffalo Bills, New York's only real team. This is a team, Tom, that's only scored 63 points in 5 games.
Yeah.
They've given up 118, which is the most in their division. But what do you foresee for these guys? They're on a 1-game winning streak as of right now. I can't remember who they beat. I think they beat Minnesota and they beat the Titans.
Yes, correct.
So far. But
yes.
What do you think? Overachieving, underachieving, or about where you thought they'd be? What do you think?
Well, you know what, Jeff? It's an interesting – this is a weird team. There's a playoff team last year that neither one of us, I think, had any confidence going through the season. I will say they're about where I expected them to be. I think the one thing I didn't expect was them to be playing a rookie quarterback full-time at this point. I thought A.J. McCarron would be their quarterback. Maybe they would have got a different veteran. But this team is probably where it's supposed to be based on all of that information.
Well, you know what? I got to say that I think they're kind of overachieving only because they got rid of a few pieces over the summer. I mean – excuse me, Vontae Davis actually retired at halftime.
Yeah.
I'm going with, just for our sake, that he knew the team was so bad that he retired in the middle of the game. But, I mean, you know, they also got rid of McCarron, and they went in there with Peterman and Allen, who was a rookie, a raw rookie at that. So I think that they're about where they're supposed to be, to underachieving, because they were a playoff team last year. But it seems as though they kind of gutted the roster a little bit to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and
without
I think,
having a solid option at quarterback.
I agree. And I think the bigger thing for me is, the teams that they have beat are top of the league. I mean, they beat Tennessee. Tennessee's the top. Although I'm not crazy about Tennessee, they are at top of their division or right there. And they beat Minnesota, who's, should be going, according to most people before the season, might be going to the Super Bowl this year. So that's the interesting part. But, again, I agree with you, Jeff. Probably where they're supposed to be.
All right. Well, this brings me to my beloved New York Jets, who at 2-3 are about where I personally thought they were going to be. They got a 1-game winning streak. There's not much to be said about the Jets right now, simply because with a rookie quarterback and a lot of young talent on that team, You know, they're trying to find their own identity. I mean, 1 week they came out in Detroit and played such a complete game. I don't think a game that complete has been played in the NFL yet this year. Mm-hmm. And then they had a good game against Denver, who was supposed to be a playoff contender. But then they you know, they got blown out by Jacksonville. They lost a close one to Miami. I forget who else they lost to. Do you remember off the top of your head by any chance?
Let's think about that for a second. They lost to the Jaguars. They lost to, oh my God, let's see. They lost.
Dolphins.
They're 1-2 on the road. Their division, they're 0-1. So that was Miami and the conference. The Jaguars, the Dolphins. Jeff, I'm drawing a blank on it. I got to be honest with you.
All right, so am I. But I'm going to say they're about where I thought they would be. I said that they would go anywhere from 5-11 to 7-9. I think they're on track for that so far. What are your thoughts about them?
Yeah, Jeff, I would tend to agree with you. I think the Jets are about where you can expect them to be. Rookie quarterback, not the greatest roster in the world. I thought. I expected better out of the Jets, but yeah, I would agree with you about where they probably were expected to be, or where all of us expected them to be before game one.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's hop on over to AFC North, which to me is a very intriguing division this year. I think that Cincinnati right now, 4-1, personally think they're overachieving. You know, they've scored the most points in their division, and there's only one other team that's given up more points in their division. They're also on a two-game winning streak. But are the Bengals for real? Are they coming out of the AFC North this year with the title?
You know, Jeff, a team that, in my opinion, is overachieving. To be honest with you, I believe this team is overachieving based on where I thought they would be before the season. Again, probably at the bottom of the division or right there with the Cleveland is where I thought they'd be. Are they coming out of that division? I got to tell you, nobody else is impressive. Now, maybe the Steelers turn it on, but I'm not buying it. So I'll tell you right now, I have every belief that Cincinnati stays the course, but I still don't believe them in the playoffs. So for the season, Jeff, I'll say that I think that they may be coming out of that division at the top.
All right. Let's go down to Baltimore. With the Ravens sitting 3-2. Their defense has given up the least amount of points of all of the teams in their division. They're on a one-game losing streak. I think that they've looked pretty good. I think that they possibly could contend for a wild card. I don't think they're going to get the division, but you never know. And I think they're about where they're supposed to be, possibly overachieving slightly, because this was a team last year that didn't make the playoffs. But I don't think they're doing too bad for themselves right now.
I would agree with you about where I think they should be. The one thing I don't like about them, Jeff, right now, in the division 1-2, I'm checking their conference, though, is 3-2. So I don't like their division record. Home at 2-0, 1-2 on the road. So a very interesting team. Second stingiest defense as far as points scored against, next to the Bears. So, yeah, I don't really believe in the Ravens, but I think they'll hang in there till the end.
Yeah, I'm going to skip over Cleveland right real quick, just for the week, because I don't want to spend too much time on Pittsburgh. I want to talk about Cleveland a little bit. And they have the same record. The Steelers, 2-2-1. They're riding a one-game winning streak. I think that they're underachieving. Was Le'Veon Bell missed that much for this team?
It's a great question, Jeff. I questioned them last year at the end of the year, but more defensively, and rightly so. They've been terrible this year on defense. 133 points against, one of the worst in football. I think Le'Veon Bell's a big hurt for them, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think that was a big miss on their part.
Now, even if they're missing him, he can't play defense, so it would have boosted up the offense a little bit, but they've given up a lot of points. And
yeah.
I just don't feel confident with them. Has the has the time come in Pittsburgh to possibly rebuild over there?
Yeah, I do. I honestly believe that, Jeff. I think it's, you know, if you look, again, I'm a big believer at this point, starting to look at division records and conference records, and if you look at their conference record, 0-2-1, 0-1-1 in the division. You're 2-2-1 at our quarter poll for the little past. Yeah, this is a team that's going to struggle. Now, I think offensively they'll be okay regardless. I think they can still put points on the board. But the biggest thing is they have not found an answer to fix that defense. And, I think this year will be a best of 500 team. And I believe they'll start a rebuild after this year.
Yeah, I kind of have a tendency to agree with you. It makes me wonder if Big Ben is going to look to bail earlier. I don't know what their salary cap situation is. So if they're going to be looking to better that team through the draft,
yeah,
they better hit on it. And I don't know what picks they have this year, if they have a full complement of picks or not.
Yeah, we'll have to start looking at that.
A team that needs some help, man. But I want to spend a few minutes on the Browns, Tom.
Sure.
The last couple of years, I said that once this team, they had a lot of young talent on the team. I don't want to say they seem for real and make it seem like I'm saying they're going into the division, so I'm going to win the division. But I am impressed with what I see of Cleveland. They've been competitive in all of their games. They're on a one-game winning streak right now. They just won in overtime. Since they put Mayfield in, this guy plays with an incredible amount of energy. Incredible amount of energy. I think that he's going to be a bona fide NFL star. I think he may be the best of the four quarterbacks right now, even though he hasn't had the same amount of playing time as, say, a Donald. But I think that this division there's a good chance that they may contend for a wild card spot. I think Mayfield is good. I think that defense is good. And I think they're a fun team to watch. Every time that I've seen them so far, they've been very entertaining. I think that they're overachieving at this point in time, but I think that they're going to be, by next year at this time, we may say that they're not underachieving, but that they're going to be looking for even more from them, that they may underachieve only because the ceiling is going to be much higher for these guys. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, again, a team that, I was surprised didn't go to the young quarterback early. It was only because of the injury in, I believe, the Jet game. In fact, is that the other team they lost to? And then they lose to Cleveland that night?
Yes.
That might be the other team they lost.
Yes, it was. We came across by accident. Look at that.
Yes, strictly by accident. So, yeah, Jeff, I think overachieving based on what most people thought coming off the lousy season last year, couple wins, could have actually had another win or so this year had they been a little more lucky and gotten better. Should have won the Oakland game, could have won. There's another game earlier they tied, but again, a good
with Pittsburgh, I believe they tied.
Yes, So a good team, going to get better, I believe. I think this team just needs a couple pieces, but you said it right. A lot of young talent, first and second round picks, all still on the team, and it's starting to show. But I think the biggest piece, and I think you said it, I think we all missed the boat on Baker Mayfield. I think we all missed the boat that this guy might be the best of the group of quarterbacks. Of the group that came out.
Yeah, it's beginning to look that way. It's early. Don't get me wrong. Nobody's saying he's going to Canton just yet. But
early. Not far from it. Yeah, far from it.
He's been good. He's been very good, man.
Yeah, and they're all playing, and none of them are embarrassing themselves. They're all going to have rookie seasons, but this kid has a presence about him that I didn't pick up at Oklahoma, and I didn't pick up in the draft, so... So far, so good for Cleveland.
Yeah, definitely. Let's head on down south, Tom, where I think that this is a disappointing division at best, simply because of three of the four teams that are in there. Let's start with the Tennessee Titans, who I think are going up about the rate that I think they're going as expected, 3-2. They're on a one-game losing streak there. Right now, they've only scored 87 points, but only given up 86. But at 3-2, this is about where I figured that they would be. What are your thoughts on the Titans?
Yeah, interesting. Well, Mike Vrabel, that coach, this is a team that's winning, has the market cornered on winning ugly, 12 nines and block punts and freaky special teams plays. This is a team that, yes, I believe is where it's supposed to be, except it should not be leading the division. There are better teams, I thought, in that division. So good for Mike Vrabel and the Titans. Ugliest uniforms in the league at this moment beside the Redskins. And winning ugly is they got the market cornered on it.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go a little further south to Jacksonville with the Jaguars, who I feel are underachieving. But last year, at this time, people didn't believe in Blake Bortles. Then all of a sudden, they picked him to be a Super Bowl contender. Based on that, I say that they're underachieving. They've only scored 102 points. They've given up 86. They're on their own one-game losing streak. I thought that, this team would be, with all the hype about them, they would be a little bit better than what they are. But they're 3-2 and have a share of the division. I know that you are more of a believer in the Jaguars than I am. But what are your thoughts of this? What do you think?
Yeah, Jeff, definitely underachieving based on what I thought before the season. I thought this team would be riding a 5-1 record at this point. 4-1 record at this point. I think the defense has played well enough. Their offense has been kind of up and down, which is goes to your point about Blake Bortles, Jeff, and I'll bow to you on that. Blake Bortles has not made the next move to that next spot in the league. She's not made the next jump in talent. So yeah, this is an underachieving team. Probably will win the division by osmosis because I don't think anybody else is very good, and they got the better defense. Could get a wild card out of this division.
All right. Well, let's go west with the Houston Texans. Right now, 2-3. Deshaun Watson is back and playing. He's had some good games so far this year. I don't want to say he's picked up where he left off, but he definitely picked up some steam. They're on a two-game winning streak after dropping their first three. Their defense has given up 124 points, and the offense has only scored 115. Does this team stand a chance of winning that division and making the playoffs?
I'd be shocked. I don't believe in Deshaun Watson. I don't think he's been the same quarterback. He may have been a little bit of flash early on. Maybe he's not gotten his legs back underneath him. Surprising me on this part, Jeff, is what you said first, the 124 points for that defense to give up. That I consider one of the better defenses in football, and they have not proved that yet. They've given up a lot of points in five games. So, no, I don't think they'll drop the Jaguars and the Titans. I believe that this year is a basically 500 year or just slightly better for this team at best.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Indianapolis Colts, they finally got luck back after what seemed like years of him being sidelined with a shoulder injury. They're 1-4 right now. They're on a three-game losing streak. Does this team right the ship and have any make any kind of noise in this division and in the AFC this year? I personally think that they're about playing about where we kind of expected. They are what they are, a 1-4 team. I don't think they did much. Defensively, they've given up 138 points. They've only scored 118 so far. And I'm not a believer in the Colts at all. I think they need a major rebuild. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Jeff, you know what? Again, we're exactly where I thought this team would be. He's got no talent around him. I'll tell you, here's my suggestion. If I'm the Colts and I really want to fix this, I trade Andrew Luck to a contending team and get the motherload. Find a team out there that needs a quarterback that's got picks and trade Andrew Luck for the motherload. Two number ones, number twos, and right the ship. Because right now with Andrew Luck as your quarterback, you're going nowhere. He's got nobody around him. This needs to be a total rebuild and a restart. And having, you know, it's like going out and buying a Porsche and parking it in a burnt-out garage. And that's what you got right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if maybe he's a little rusty and everything. I mean, not playing for as long as he did. You know, there's going to be a lot of questions. Is his arm as strong as it once was? He just doesn't seem to be the same. But that may be that the team itself is in a bad way. But I kind of figured them to be a bad team this year. And that's exactly what they are at 1-4. But let's go over to a division, another division that's kind of piqued my interest, the AFC West with the Kansas City Chiefs, 5-0. They're winning, of course, a five-game winning streak, 2-0 in their division, 4-0 in their conference. They put up a lot of points, 175 points, but they've also kind of gave up a lot of points at 129 points. For the season. Is Mahomes for real? And are the Chiefs, are they going to be the new New England Patriots maybe this year?
You know, I'm still not sold on Andy Reid. I can't knock Mahomes. They're 5-0. To me, probably the biggest surprise in the NFL. I know they're a playoff team every year, and last year, but the dominance on offense, this team still got some holes on defense. They've given up a lot of points, but they score a lot of points. I would say right now, probably the best team in the AFC at this moment.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they're overachieving only because I figured with Mahomes, they would have taken a step back. He did have a year to learn behind Alex Smith, but and he did slip this week a little bit. I got his stats. He was only 22 of 38, no touchdowns, two interceptions, and he took a sack. Not terrible, but after the way he came storming out of the gate, I believe he threw for just around 300 yards. I didn't have that written down. But, I kind of think that they're overachieving with him, but he seems like he's pretty much the real deal, and Kansas City might have done the real thing and the right thing with him by letting him sit for a year, which may get other teams on board with that scenario that no matter what they got, let their rookies learn, especially a quarterback for a year, because it seems to be working for the Chiefs.
Yeah, listen, it didn't hurt that they had Alex Smith in front of him. It wasn't like they were going with Chase Daniels or Ryan Fitzmagic, Patrick. I think it's a surprise team. I picked this team to be dead last. I thought that they would struggle. The kid would take some time to learn. I am completely wrong on this team. I'm not ready to put them in the Super Bowl yet. And I think you've seen him come back to earth. And Jeff, for the league, they adjust. So I think at some point, his star will diminish a little bit. But this kid's the real deal. He'll be a good quarterback in the future of this league.
Yeah, I agree. I also feel as though they overachieved only because of the rookie quarterback and that they were a playoff team. But I got to be honest with you, it doesn't look like that they missed a beat. So, good luck to them. And I would like to see them further themselves this year in the playoffs. But time will tell with that. But let's go down to the Los Angeles Chargers at 3-2. This is a team, another team that people picked to go to the Super Bowl. Pick for the Super Bowl, 137 scored, 130 against. Right now, they're on a two-game winning streak, but a lot of people pick them to be a strong team, and right now they're hovering a little over 500. They don't scare me, the Chargers. If the Jets were going in there to play the Chargers, I'd be pretty confident that the Jets would stand a chance against them. So this isn't a team that scares me like the Chiefs or the Patriots. But I'm going to say they're underachieving a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, good call, Jeff. Good, definitely an underachieving team, a team most people picked to win the division this year. Again, haven't played terrible, but you said it. Very up and down. Not a team that that wows you, and a team that you don't chalk up a win when your team's playing them, but you're not going, oh, this is going to be a tough game. So I'm not a big fan of Philip Rivers. Again, another team I think that doesn't have a ton of talent. And I think it'll be a middle-of-the-road 9-7 team fighting for a wild card.
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one. But let's go back out a little further east, actually, with the Denver Broncos. Losers of 3 in a row. They just got their heads handed to them by the Jets. They started off strong at 2-0. This is an offense that scored 100 points, but their very talented defense has given up 131. They're 0-2 on the road, 1-1 in their division. This is a team, to me, that I figured they were going to be around the 500 mark somewhere. A lot of people thought that they were going to be a lot better than what they are, but they're proving to be a 500 team, right around 500 right now. And they're another team, after watching them against the Jets, I don't see how anybody on that team is scaring anybody, especially the quarterback. I think that they're about where they're supposed to be from what I figured, but are they done for the year? What happens now? Does Elway get to stay there as in his role in the team? Or you think it's going to be evaluated? Maybe he's going to be replaced. And try to build that team a different way?
You know what, Jeff? I think he's got a little bit of carte blanche. I think he's still he's a big name. I think the owner loves him. So I don't believe so. But at some point, somebody's going to have to hold him accountable for not being able to replace Peyton Manning. And I think Case Keenum was a bad try because I think you tried to, what you tried to do was take a very average quarterback who on a really good team is okay, shown last year in Minnesota, but on a suspect team, this is not a guy who's going to be able to take your team and make it better. You know, if you put a guy like that on, let's say, the Giants or, you know, let's say for hell of a, for the Patriots, you know, on a team that's got talent, he's not a bad quarterback. But on a team that's hurting, he's not the guy. And, yes, Elway at some point will have to have his feet held to the fire. I don't believe it's yet, but I think they're ready for a big shakeup. I think you'll see maybe some of the bigger veterans traded away or released, and this team will start from scratch. It's going to have to. They can't keep feeding the fire, Jeff, and hoping that they can bring in one piece. I think that's what Keenum was. They hope Keenum was the guy that they could bring in to make one more run, and it's backfiring.
Did you slip in there that the Giants, he could be on the Giants?
I'm just using that as an example of, you know, if you have a team with talent and you slip a guy like that in, he works there. But if you try to put him on a team that's got no talent, he's not making the talent better. So it was just an example. No, I don't see the Giants ever bringing in a Case Keenum or replacing Eli.
No, I'm not saying to bring in Case Keenum. I just liked when you talked about a team with talent that you brought in a team that well, we'll get to them. How's that?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Oakland Raiders. Dude, this is a team that is underachieved to me, or should I say overachieved 2 years ago, and it's just kind of living up to the hype of being nothing. I think them hiring Gruden was just a way to get a little publicity before their move to Las Vegas. I don't think this is a team that scares anybody. They've given up 149 points. They've only scored 107. 2 years ago, we were ready to anoint the Raiders the next Patriots. Man, were we wrong. I think this team is underachieving, overachieving, and about where they want to be, all rolled into one. Underachieving because they had promise a couple years ago, overachieving because I think they hoodwinked us a couple years ago, and right where they need to be because I think that's exactly what they are, is a 1-4 team. I don't see this team going more than 5-11 if they're lucky.
I agree. I think the problem is that the coach, too many years out of the league, he has not bonded well with his team, especially his quarterback. I think the Raiders are going to be faced with a big decision at some point to either dismantle the roster and build it around Gruden or replace Gruden with somebody who's more in tune with this quarterback and this team. They've gotten really, I mean, they're not great at receiver. They cannot run the ball well. Their defense is terrible. And when your coach sits there and questions that it's not easy to come up with pass rushers, and he traded away probably the premier pass rusher in the league for a couple of number one picks and maybe guys you draft, you know, that tells me all I need to know. This is a bad fit. I said it before the year. You know, you don't get out of the league for 10 years and come back in, and all of a sudden you're the smartest man in the league. So we'll see how it plays out. But, yes, Jeff, I think this team is exactly where you expect them to be.
All right. Well, that wraps up our little talk about the AFC. Now we're going to go over to the NFC, where just a quick scan of the standings here as I'm looking, as I'm talking to you, I see a lot of things that kind of surprised me. And I kind of felt a little differently about the NFC. I think that after looking at this real quick, I think a 9-7, 8-8 as a wild card, the NFC is a good possibility this year. If you look at the standings.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, an 8-8 team could possibly get the second wild card.
Yeah. So let's start with the NFC East, where we got the Washington Redskins, losers of one. They're 2-2. They put up 83 points, but the offense is anemic with 83 points. But the defense is holding its own with 87 points. I don't think that there's a strong team in this division, to be honest with you. And 2-2, I'm a little shocked that there's a 2-2 team leading this division as of right now. I don't see this much better than a 500 division as the season goes on. It's just a matter of which one of these teams is going to step up, and all of them are within range to step up. With the Giants being in last place, we're 1-4. Basically, they're a game and a half out of first place. So nobody's really completely out of it right now. But let's stick with the Redskins. We got Adrian Peterson over there. He's got some injuries. Alex Smith, not much else. But what do you are they overachieving, underachieving? What do you think, man?
Overachieving, Jeff. I didn't expect anything out of this team this year. I still don't. I think you're not hitting right on the head. You look up, the Giants are 1-4 and are two games out. And with win tomorrow night, put themselves right back in the division. So this is a very bad division this year. The Redskins they're exactly where they should be, just not at the top of the division. This should be a 2-2 team that's basically almost dead last in the division.
Let me ask you something. Are the Redskins overachieving, or is the rest of the division underachieving, which puts them as at the top of the list here?
Yeah, I would tell you the rest of the division is completely underachieving. I mean, most people thought that Philadelphia would win the division easy, get back to the playoffs at the very least. I had the Giants going to the playoffs. I thought Dallas would be a 500 team thereabouts, and I would tell you that there's not one decent team in this division at this moment. Doesn't mean that the crazy quarter poll that we have in five games, that somebody can't turn it on and go on a five-game winning streak. But right this minute, I don't think any of these teams are any good.
No, I don't think so either. That brings us to Dallas at 2-3. The leader of this division is a 500 team at 2-2. Yeah. Dallas at 2-3. Dak Prescott, I don't know what happened. I guess he forgot to play football. And when you got Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. I said it right. What do you know?
There you go.
You would think that they'd be a lot better offensively. They've only scored 83 points, but they've only given up 96. The defense isn't playing bad. They're also riding a one-game losing streak. They're 1-0 in their division, 2-2 in their conference. But at 2-3, is Prescott for real? Is this team out of it already? What's the deal? What's going on in Dallas?
Well, listen, their receivers are terrible. They never fit. They never replace Dez Bryant, who, Jeff, I am shocked, is still not playing in the NFL today. I have to be honest. There's a lot of teams that could use a Dez Bryant, so I'm surprised that Dez Bryant has not signed. If he did, I did not hear it. So I did a Google search, and I couldn't find anything about him signing anywhere. But having said that, they have no receivers. The offensive line has not played consistently well at all this year. The defense has been better, but I think you nailed it on the head, Jeff. Prescott has not taken another step forward. And I believe that Dak Prescott, in another year or so, will be in a fight for his job.
I don't think you're going to have to wait that long, Tom, to be honest with you. I don't see Dak Prescott possibly even having a job there next year. I believe he's still on his rookie deal. And it's just a matter of if he's going into his fifth year or not. But I don't see him being an answer in Dallas. But
the question is going to be, Jeff, are they going to question whether he has enough? Is it going to be, well, he doesn't have enough talent around him, or is it that he's not good enough to make the talent better? That's going to be the question that somebody – but I think the biggest problem, Jeff, their coach is terrible. The guy calling the plays has been terrible. And until the owner hires a real GM and not himself and puts a coach in there who's not a puppet, the Dallas Cowboys will not win, and I hope he stays there forever.
Oh, listen, I know as a Giant fan, I know how you feel about them hating New England with such a passion myself. So, and I just know that you in particular and Giant fans in particular just have such a deep hatred for the other teams in the NFC East. I think it's great. Like, everybody's the enemy in the NFC East, and it's great. You know, even if it came down to the last weekend of the season, and you needed one of these teams to beat another team in your division so the Giants could go to the Super Bowl, I think that you guys just hate rooting for somebody in that division. That's what there is to it, even if it's trying to fit your team.
It's the truth. I'll some of the best. I play fantasy football every year. No matter how good a player is, if he plays for the Cowboys, Redskins, or the Eagles, I cannot draft him on my team. I don't care if he's the best player in the league. I cannot draft him. I cannot root for a player on any one of those teams, and you're right. I even have a hard time rooting for any of them, to win a football game for me.
Well, let's go over, speaking of the Eagles, let's go over the Eagles. They got Carson Wentz back. They won the Super Bowl last year. Are they suffering from the Super Bowl jinx? Why? I mean, 2-3. They're on a two-game losing streak. Wentz seems to be playing okay. I don't know if he's really picked up where he left off last year. But certainly this team right now, after five games, I don't want to say they're in trouble because it's easy. They could run off a bunch of wins. But as of right now, you know, you're talking about a sub-500 team. Are they where they're supposed to be? Or I think they're underachieving myself.
Agreed. They're underachieving. But again, I said it before the season that I don't believe any team in the modern era other than the New England Patriots can keep going to Super Bowls or play the Super Bowl and then even be have the opportunity to go back. I don't believe that they were headed back to the Super Bowl this year. I thought they might win this division because everybody else was terrible. And now, Wentz has been good, Jeff. I've watched enough of his games. He doesn't have a ton of talent. His offensive line is getting him killed. And their defense is not great. You know, too many big plays, and they look terrible against the Vikings this week. I thought they got outplayed at home against Minnesota, who's a questionable team at this point.
Yeah. All right, that brings us to the Giants, Tom.
Yep.
A team that's 1-4. They've given up 128 points. They're on a two-game losing streak. They're 0-3 in their conference, 0-1 in their division, so they still have a lot of division games left. Somehow, they put up the most points in that division, 104 points. I didn't think they scored that many. But I know they had a hard luck game in Carolina. That offensive line is absolutely killing them. But Barkley, it's so hard for me to say the word disappointment, but because I know that it's mostly due to that offensive line. But Barkley, I have his stats from the last game, and they really weren't that impressive. Where are they? Eli was 22 of 36. Barkley was 15 rushes, 48 yards, a long of 30, but he caught four passes for 81 yards and two touchdowns. And Beckham got his first career touchdown pass. Eli finally had a decent average of 9.1 per pass, but, you know, two touchdowns, two interceptions. He only took one sack, but I mean, I know they're going to release Flowers. This team, to me, is underachieving because I thought that they would have been a little bit better, maybe 5-11 to 6-10. But the way they're playing, I don't see them going more than 3-13 again this year. What do you think?
Listen, yeah, I guess, well, here's my first thing. The one thing I'll say about Barkley is you're right. If you look at it on the face, the stats have not been good, but I will tell you, if you watch him play every week, which I do, he is never gets a full head of steam. When he does get some sort of speed, he has made some amazing plays. He has made some, he made one that I think he scored a touchdown on this week. I'm not sure if he scored it on the play, but no, he scored on the pass. But he made a run with a jump cut, beat the corner to the outside, and just looked effortlessly running the ball. The other thing I'll tell you, Jeff, is if you look at his stats week to week, he has averaged well over 100 yards a game, all-purpose yards, and he's one of only three players in NFL history to average over 100 yards all-purpose in his first five games. So while he's not run the ball, he has been a major factor in the offense, and I will tell you that if they ever get their head together, he will be a great player. Does it work out with Eli, and should they have taken a quarterback? I can't answer. But on the face of it all, Saquon Barkley is a great player and is going to be a great player.
You know what? As of right now, I mean, we've discussed this 1,000 times about him always being connected and compared to what Donald's doing over with the Jets because they had to pick after them and the Giants passed on him. But, I mean, right now Donald isn't actually doing anything to make you say, wow, like, this is what they missed out on. You know, he's basically an average quarterback at best right now, but he's still learning. So it's still time for him. There's still time for Barkley too. It's just, you don't want to see the bust word come out on Barkley after the first season, because I think it's the offensive line that's holding him back. So
yeah,
I'm really hoping that they don't label him that after the first year.
Nobody who pays attention to football, has any knowledge of the game, could look at this player, watch him play, see what he's done and label him a bust. Again, well, 5 years from now, will we say the Giants should have took Darnold or Josh Allen or Rosen? I don't know. I can't say it. But right now, I'll be honest with you, other than Mayfield, he's probably the best rookie right now. I would call him the offensive MVP of offensive rookie of the year at this moment. Based on what he's done, he's the best rookie in the NFL. That's my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, listen, there's still time for all of
these rookies. Absolutely. 100%.
Let's go to another division that has kind of turned topsy-turvy to me. The Chicago Bears at 3-1. You're talking about a team, they won three in a row. They scored 111 points. Their defense has only given up 65, led by Khalil Mack, who seems to be a one-man wrecking machine every week. This is a team that I think is overachieving. I didn't expect them to be where they are at this point in time. Even with 111 points scored, they scored the least amount of points in their division as of right now, but they've given up almost half as many points as the nearest one, which is the Green Bay Packers at 114. But at 3-1, I say they're overachieving. What are your thoughts about the Bears?
100%. I would have picked them to be third in the division this year. In fact, I think I did. I think I assumed Detroit would be dead last. This is a team that's overachieving. I'm not sure can sustain this, but I tell you what, Jeff, the rest of that division is underwhelming as well. I'll tell you that the Bears hang in there. I think just based on their defense, this team has a shot to win this division.
Definitely, man. I mean, listen, that brings us right to the next two teams, Green Bay and Minnesota, both at 2-2-1. Green Bay first, they're riding a one-game losing streak. They're 0-2 on the road, 1-1-1 in their division. They put up 115 points but led 114 points up. This is a team with Rodgers. I know he's coming off an injury. He's a year older. Is Rodgers starting to break down? I mean, What has Green Bay got to do to right the ship and be the team that they've been in the past?
Can't run the football, Jeff. Don't have enough solid in the receiving core and not a great defensive team. This is a very one-man team. Rodgers, and he's playing hurt. He's still playing hurt. So this is a team that's probably overachieving, although I'm not sure if I picked up to win the division. I'd have to go back and look. I will tell you that they're underachieving and probably no better than a 9-7 team at this moment.
Yeah, I kind of got to agree with you there, man. I feel as though they're underachieving only because of the past history with them and how they always seem to turn it on and have
Absolutely.
A great spurt of games. But, this year they're not showing anything. But speaking of not showing anything, we got the Minnesota Vikings up next, 2-1. They've given up 131 points, only put up 113 with the Cousins, their new quarterback. They're 1-1 on the road. At home, 1-1-1 on the road. 0-0-1. Sorry, that tie's fucking me up. 0-0-1 in their division. They're on a one-game winning streak, but they're not showing me anything. I thought Cousins would be better. It makes me happy that the Jets didn't sign Cousins. When does Cousins get labeled a bust up there if he doesn't get this team to at least the playoffs? What happens?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Jeff. I think then you start questioning the signing with a 4-year guaranteed $90-something million contract. Yeah, I think it's going to happen sooner than later. This is an underachieving team. They beat this is the freakiest team, is Jeff. They went to Philadelphia and won, and they lose at home to Buffalo and get smacked. This is a team that's all over the map. I think I don't know if it's got an identity, and I don't know that they have enough talent on this team to turn it around. I do think they make a run at a playoff spot. I do think this team gets better because I think the rest of the division, they'll feast on the rest of the division.
Yeah, well, let's go down to the bottom of that division. We got the Detroit Lions, who look like a high school football team on opening night against the Jets. They're 2-3. They're riding a one-game winning streak. They've scored the most points of any offense division with 125, but given up 137 points. They're 1-0-0 in their division. but 1-2-0 in their conference. With Matthew Stafford, you're going to put up a lot of yards, maybe not necessarily a lot of points, but they have scored the most points so far after five games in their division. But I don't know, man. Matt Patricia, maybe it's going to take him a year to get some players, implement his system, if he even has one, and get this team going. But I just don't see Matt Patricia being the answer in Detroit. What do you think?
Jeff, yeah, it's a weird team. I mean, it's a team that got trounced by the Jets open tonight, looked like they'd be terrible, got smacked by the 49ers the next week, and then have won two out of the last three games. You know, weird team, Jeff. I don't know what to make of them. I mean, Stafford's played well. I mean, they put up some points, but they've given up a lot. You know, I think this team is exactly I think it's overachieving, honestly, at 2-3. But I think it's going to finish exactly where it is now. Bottom of the division, at best, probably a six-win team.
Well, yeah, I guess time will tell.
Yes.
I'm kind of agreeing with you. I think that they're about where we expected them to be at this point in time of the season. I didn't expect them to be a much better than 500 team. But, you know, it's sad when you see one of these teams like this, the Lions, a longtime NFL team.
Yeah.
And they've never been to the Super Bowl. You just would like to see a team like that finally get a little success. I mean, me personally, I'm kind of a Lions fan. I like them.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it happening for them this year. But, you know, the NFC North is a strange division. But let's go down to the NFC South.
Ahead,
and
Jeff.
Let's start off with right now with the Saints. And I would just like to say how Breeze set the all-time yardage record. And just a few points on Breeze. He has set the single-season passing yardage record, which was broken by Manning by 1 yard. He has thrown for more than 5,000 yards 5 times over the past decade. No other quarterback has done that. He's on top of a lot of the career records of NFL quarterbacks.
Yep.
So you're dealing with a pretty prolific quarterback. Right now his team is 4-1. They've scored 180 points but given up 140. They're only 1-1 in their division. They're riding a 4-game winning streak after losing their first game. They seem to revert after last year. They seem to revert back to winning games 43-38. They don't seem to have that dominance that they did last year. Maybe they warm up a little bit and they get going as the season goes on. But I think that this team, a lot of people them to go to the Super Bowl for the NFC this year. So I'm going to say that they're not overachieving. They're kind of on the level of where we thought they would be. But with Breeze, yeah, you just never know. This team is capable of 40, 44 points a game. But that defense scares me. What are you thinking?
You're hitting it right on the head, Jeff. Before the season, I think we all had them picked. We thought they'd be better defensively. I think that's the one negative and probably the one thing that will hurt them. I don't think if they get into a slugging match with the Rams or the Bears, I think that they'll have their problems. Yes, Drew Brees is probably the best quarterback in football at this moment. Goff would be right there. There's a few quarterbacks, Mahomes. But, you know, there's no knocking Drew Brees. I don't think they got enough in the tank defensively. And I think there's a big difference, that team on the road as compared to at home, especially in the colder months. I know you haven't seen it yet, but you will. But, no, they're exactly where they should be, Jeff. You know, top of the division, 4-1. That's exactly where they're supposed to be.
Right now, they're 2-1-0 at home and 2-0 on the road. But 3-1 in their conference and 1-1 in their division. I think that as it goes on, it's just going to come down between them and the Panthers. Speaking of the Panthers, they're 3-1, and they're also on a 2-game winning streak. They put up 104 points. The defense has only given up 91, the least in their division. They're 3-0 at home, but 0-1-0 in their division. I'm not a big believer in Cam Newton. It looks like he's going to throw a hissy fit if things don't go his way. We've seen that with the Super Bowl with Denver. But I'm not a big believer in this team. I think they're about where they should be. maybe possibly even overachieving a little bit. But, you know, the other two teams in the division have kind of fallen flat. But what do you think about Carolina? Is Cam Newton ready to elevate his game and do what he's got to do to lead this team back to the Super Bowl?
No, Jeff. I think they're a little short at receiver. I know Funchess is there, and they've got some players. I don't think he's a great quarterback. I don't think you're going to see much better from him. I don't think he's got another level. I don't think he's going to take it to another place. So he's what it is. He'll on a good team, he'll be a good quarterback. On a bad team, he's a bad quarterback. This team is probably where they're supposed to be or a little overachieving at this point. I would have had them for third in the division. I think it's because one of the teams lower is well underachieving. We'll get to them soon. But now this team is, I would probably say, overachieving at this point. But I don't expect that to last.
I hear you. Well, speaking of overachieving, we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where Ryan Fitzpatrick, for the first three games of the season, looked like Joe Montana of old. They're 2-2. They've scored 112, given up 139. They're 1-1-0 at both home and on the road, 1-0 in their division. They're riding a two-game losing streak, though. This is a team, to me, that's overachieving. Winston has a lot to prove this year, I feel. So does Mariota, the two quarterbacks that were picked at the top of their class when they were drafted.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to see what happens if the Bucs extend him before the season's over. But I don't think that this is a team to be feared, and I think that they're sinking down. I think they've overachieved so far, but I think they're going to go back to their role as about where they need to be to underachievers. Very shortly, I'd say probably starting now.
I would agree. I think this is a team. This is the perfect. They were the first two games was Fitz magic, and the second two games were Fitz tragic. And I think that's the element of this team right now, Jeff. And I don't think it's going to matter once Winston gets under coming off the bye week. I don't think it's going to matter. This team is at best a 500 team, and I think I'm giving them credit. It's probably well below that. And, yeah, I would agree with you, Jeff. I think if he's off his rookie contract, I would be shocked if they break the bank to sign him to a big deal, to be honest.
Well, you know what, Tom? You never know. Stranger things have happened. We've seen it happen in the NFL. This was a team that a couple people picked to go 1-15. So they're about where they need to be right now. I think they're going to get a few more wins and maybe be around 4-12, 5-11. But I don't think they're going to be scaring anybody. And speaking of not scaring anybody, I don't know whether to be scared or not scared. The Atlanta Falcons at 1-4, 1-2-0 at home, 0-2 on the road. They're 1-1 in their division. They've lost 3 in a row. You know, with a team with Julio Jones, this kid Ridley looks like he's the real deal at receiver. Julio Jones has yet to score a touchdown, to the best of my knowledge, for this season so far. But what's going on down there? I mean, this is a team 2 years removed from the Super Bowl. So you think they should have been a little bit better than they are right now?
I said it that year. I'll say it again. This team has never, never recovered from that Super Bowl. It's never recovered. They've got a super talent on the offense. For a coach who is a defensive specialist coming out of the Legion of Boom, he's never established a good defense here. This is a team, Jeff, with some serious thoughts after the season. If it continues in this way, you have to give some serious consideration to a rebuild or a change in coaches, because they've not – 163 points given up for a team that's got a defensive-minded coach. I'm sorry. This is an underachieving team that is on the precipice of being blown up.
Yeah, the only thing I think, Tom, that saves them is that Ryan is a little bit older, so I can't see them completely blowing up the team as of yet, although I have a tendency to lean that way myself. But I think that what they're going to look to do is maybe compliment him a little bit more while he still has time. I mean, you do have Julio Jones and Ridley, so, I mean, you do have a couple good receivers, but if Julio Jones – going into his sixth game, still hasn't caught a touchdown pass. That's concerning to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame. I mean, listen, same thing with Beckham. To the best of my knowledge, he's thrown more touchdown passes this year than he's actually caught, although he caught one.
He caught his first one.
I mean, you know, these are receivers that you're looking to put up big numbers, and they're putting up some numbers, but they're not putting up numbers where they count, and that's the touchdown column. But I say that they're heavily underachieving, the Falcons.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, it's
remarkable
that this team has underachieved to this level this year. That is surprising to me. And again, I'll say it one more time. This team has not recovered from the 28-3 come-from-behind win from the Patriots 2 years ago. Just hasn't recovered yet.
I got to agree with you on that one. But,
yeah.
You know, what more could be said about them? So nothing.
Yeah, no.
So let's go over to the NFC West and have a little fun over there. We got the Rams at 5-0, undefeated at home, undefeated at the road, of course, by their record of 5-0, 2-0 in their division. They put up 173 points and only gave up 98 with Goff, who's certainly looking more like the Goff of last year than the Goff of his first season. He's been unbelievable. The Rams themselves have been great. Is this team for real? Is this the team that goes to the Super Bowl for the NFC?
Yeah, you know what, Jeff? I mean, staring at it right now, I mean, the only team, in my opinion, I mean, if New Orleans could play them indoors – maybe, but they don't have a good enough defense. The Bears have the best defense in the league. Could the Bears stick with them? Maybe. To me, this is the best team in the NFC. This might be the best team in football, to be honest with you. Offensively, defensively, this might be the best team in football by far, playing the best football. I right now, if you ask me, the Rams win the Super Bowl at this moment. It's too far in the season to make predictions.
Well, listen, it's always fun to see what happens from week to week because you know that it, just like the power rankings, it all changes. But I have a tendency to agree with you. I think the NFC is going to come down to the Saints and the Rams. But, I mean, it's cool to see that the Bears are getting in there and you don't know if Minnesota is going to rebound or Green Bay. But as of right now, it looks like the class of the NFC is the Rams. Let's go up to Seattle, a team that's on a one-game losing streak that, I don't know, man, they're giving up 116, scored 114. They're 1-1 at home, 1-2 on the road, 1-1 in their division. They just seem to be a 500 team. I'm going to say that they're overachieving. And when I mean 500, I'm talking about hovering around the 500 mark. I know they're below 500.
Yeah.
But to me, this is a team that's overachieving with the pieces that they have left. Russell Wilson, I know that you're not a Russell Wilson fan, but I think that they got him doing too much up there, and I don't think he's able to compensate. And this is a team that's on the decline, not the rise.
Yes. I would agree with that wholeheartedly, Jeff. I think this is a team that's on the decline. I think there's not enough pieces. I think Russell Wilson is a good quarterback on a really good team, and I just don't believe in his ability to elevate players around him as a Breeze does, as a Roethlisberger or Brady. So, no, I think this team is probably, to my opinion, underachieved from where most people thought they could be do this year. Most people probably had them at 3-2. But I think this is an underachieving team who's complete. If it wasn't for the two other teams in their division who are probably worse than them right now, this could easily be the worst team in that division.
Oh, definitely. I mean, one of those teams right now with a rookie quarterback, the Arizona Cardinals, they've only put up 65 points a game, which comes out to about 13 points a game. They've given up almost twice as many as they've scored. They're 0-3 at home, 1-1 on the road. They're on a one-game winning streak. It's unfortunate for Larry Fitzgerald. I'm thinking that this is his last year, that this team isn't going to do much for him this year. But I don't even think this team's going to come close to 500. I think this year is the year to see what you have in Rosen and see if he could play. This is another team that doesn't really seem to have the answer to quarterback. They had Carson Palmer for a number of years, but he's gone, retired now. So it's going to take some time. I want to say that they're in a rebuilding phase. A lot of people are letting them down, but it's not a good team. They're definitely underachieving.
Yeah, this is a division, Jeff, that's really – has in the last 3 or 4 years gone downhill. And it wasn't that long ago that this team had three teams that were at 500 or better. So This is a very this division has gone downhill. Frisco can't get it right. The Cardinals can't get it right. They're running through players that they should be winning with right now, and Seattle's on the way down. So this easily could be the worst division in football if it probably wasn't for the NFC East right now.
Yeah, I hear you. And let's round up the NFC West with the 49ers at 1-4. They've given up 146 points, scored 118. They're 1-1 at home, 0-3 on the road, 0-1 in their division. They're losers of their last three. And speaking of losing, they lost their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, who they invested a lot of money in this year. Evidently, that hurt them more than anybody would have thought. A lot of people were picking them 10-6. So I'm going to say that this is an underachieving team. I think they're going to fight to go 4-12, if that. So, I mean, you know, it's a shame, but it goes to show you that how a team's not ready and they win a couple games, which they did last year. They won 5 in a row or 6 in a row.
Yeah.
And everybody was saying, look out for the 49ers this year. But I think the best team, and not to get off the subject of the Niners, but the best team that's doing the best with a rebuild would be the Cleveland Browns, how they slowly rebuilt and they look like they're competitive. The Niners don't seem to be a competitive team this year.
No, they're not. They're not a competitive team. I'm going to chalk it up to the quarterback, but I still don't believe that this team would have been a playoff team with their quarterback in tow. But again, I think they were headed in the right direction. The problem with the 49ers, Jeff, was they did this. They did the whole, let's go get a bunch of players and stick them on the same team. You know, Richard Sherman, Garoppolo, Crabtree. They went and got a bunch of guys, stuck them on the same team, and said, "All right, go be a good team." And that doesn't work. But what you find out in the NFL that thought process does not work. So we'll see how it changes at the end of this year. But yeah, this is a team that's underachieving, and will probably finish dead last with a high playoff pick.
They're not looking like they have much going for them this year with Garoppolo out.
Nope.
And, you know, you're right. They signed Richard Sherman, who was on his last legs in Seattle. He's an older player. Some of the other people, I don't know much about that team. I don't follow them. But I don't think that they're going to be anything to worry about. I think if they had Garoppolo, it would be a little bit of a different story. They'd be hovering closer to 500. But without him, I think that's you lose several wins right there. And I don't think they're a team to worry about. I really don't.
Yeah. Once you wrap it up, I want to throw a couple things at you real fast. So whenever you're ready, I want to throw a couple of questions at you.
Yeah, go ahead, man. I'm ready to go.
All right, so give me the best division in football today. You can give me one in each league if you want, but I'm looking for what division right now is the strongest. Forget about records. Just give me, based on the teams in that league, in that division, what is the best division in football right now?
AFC North.
AFC North. I would agree with that.
AFC North, only because, real quick, all four teams are competitive. The Steelers, I think, are the least competitive of those teams as of right now. If Bell comes back and decides to play, I think that elevates them a little bit. Maybe not to the top of the division, but I can't say that anybody is out of that division right now.
I would agree 100% with that. Give me the most overrated team in football right now.
The Patriots.
I think it's the Jaguars. I think I disagree with you on the Patriots. I think the Patriots are a solid team. Edelman back, it's a solid team. I disagree, but I can see your point. Give me the most underrated team in football right now.
Oh, wow. After tonight and going over this, I would have to say the most underrated team in football has got to be the Chicago Bears. I did not realize just how good that defense was and how good that team seems to be. Judging by the record, I have not seen them play, but just judging by the record and the standings, I'm going with the Bears.
Agreed 100%. Give me the most surprisingly bad division in football for you. If you had a team division that you thought would be better as a whole, what is that division?
Man, I got to go with the NFC North. I figured that Dallas and Philly would have been a little bit better than what they are. I didn't figure the Giants to factor into it. My runner-up division would have been the AFC West, but I'm going to go with the NFC North just to be a thorn in somebody's side.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Give me the best player. Who's at the Hard Rocket Sports fifth game quarter poll? Who's the best player in football today?
Got to go with Drew Brees, my friend, only because he just set the NFL career yardage mark. I think he's showing that he's still playing very competent at an older age, at 40, 39, 40, whatever he is. I think he still has a few more years left in him. There's several runner-ups, which I'm not going to get into. But just real quick, surprise on that list, I would have put Baker Mayfield as playing some very good football at this point in time of the season. I don't know if he's one of the best, but I'd say he has to be a top 10 player right now, along with Khalil Mack. But I'm going to go with Drew Brees. He's the best player in the NFL right now.
Give me the most overrated player in the league based on the start of the season and the plays that were hyped. Give me the most overrated player.
Wow. You're going to hate me for this, but I got to go to Saquon Barkley. But I know that it's not him. I understand it's not him. I understand it's the line, but the production is production, and he's really not. He has one quick burst, it seems, a game. Unfortunately for him, football's a team sport, and part of the offense is not working well right now, which translates to bad games for him. He's doing it well as a receiver, but you can't make him a number one target and put him out there for unnecessary hits. He needs to grind that ball out for the Giants for them to have any kind of success. And with that offensive line, he can't do it right now. So I'm saying Saquon Barkley, unfortunately.
I would disagree wholeheartedly with that one. But I'll give you a tie right now for me. If you ask me right now, my tie is Case Keenum / Kirk Cousins. I think those are two guys that were paid big money to go in and change their team, and they haven't done it. So I'm going to tell you that before the season, those two guys were high free agent choices by their teams, quick signings, big money, two quarterbacks, overrated based on the hype before the season and their status at this point of the season, their team record. That's where I would go with that one.
I could agree with that. I could agree with that.
Yeah, I give you that. And now give me last let's see. Let me see if I got all my questions out to you. Yeah, Jeff, I think all right, give me right now, we're at the quarter poll. I could probably dig it out and tell you, hold on. Jeff, before the season started, let's see. Jeff picked the Saints and the Patriots for the Super Bowl with the Saints winning. I picked the Jags and the Rams with the Rams winning the Super Bowl. Have you come off of your picks?
You know, Tom, I'm going to stick with the Saints because I just said earlier that I think it's going to come down to the Saints and the Rams and the NFC. The AFC, I've come off the Patriots just slightly. But you can't discount them because they are the Patriots and they have Brady and Belichick. But if I had to say somebody who's gaining speed on them, it would have to be the Chiefs right now. But it's still early in the season. But I'm going to have to stick as of right now. I'm going to go with the wily veterans with Belichick and Brady and say that it's going to be the Saints and the Patriots come February.
Okay, so you're sticking with it. So that's it for me, Jeff. I got out all of my questions about where we're at. So your call. What do you want to do next? If you want to run it,
well,
that's it.
There's just one question left, and then we could wrap it up.
Sure.
The one question I want to add to that is who is the NFL Rookie of the Year? As of right now, I'm going with Mayfield.
It's too early for me for him, Jeff. Right now, I will tell you that I think the best rookie out of the class is Saquon Barkley, just for the simple fact, 5 100-yard games to start his season. I know that you're down on him as far as being a runner. I've watched every game he's played. I will tell you that he is, by hands down, the best offensive player for a rookie. If you voted today, to me, Barkley gets my vote. Not just because he's a Giant. I'm a very impartial voter. I'm voting right now, Saquon Barkley. Now, if you ask me 5 or 6 weeks from now, when Mayfield's got a little bit more, a few more games under his belt, he could easily be the best offensive rookie in the league at the end of the year.
Now, this is why I disagree with that. You ready?
Go ahead. Go for it.
All right. He's only had 100-yard rushing game as of so far. So far. And I realize that it's early. But so far, yep. He's only had one 100-yard rushing game. Yes, I understand that he's putting up some big numbers overall. But a running back, okay, is basically somebody that you want to see 100 yards from. I know he's not going to get 100 yards every game. That would be retarded to even say that. But I would have to say that because he's not having success running, when it comes time to give out the NFL or the Rookie of the Year award, I don't think that he's going to be in consideration unless he puts up a monster amount of yards. Mayfield, the reason I go with Mayfield is because he's keeping that team competitive in all the games they've played in. He's just adding new life to that team. I think Cleveland is going to be a team. I said it already. They're going to be a team to be dealt with for a couple of years. And I think it's going to happen a lot sooner than we realize. But I don't feel comfortable saying Barkley only because as a rusher, he's not – when you put it up 48, 50 yards a game and you're getting half those yards in one run, I can't say that's successful. But he's doing his part as a receiver. But, you know, it is what it is. Running backs run. They don't just catch. So
yeah, I get it, but you got to look at everything. You can't just look at – What their rushing stats are. You have to look at the entire game, and the fact that the guy has involved at this point all-purpose yards. I'll take 500 yards at this, better than 500 yards, you know, at this point. So I disagree with you. So,
well, you know, Tom, there are running backs. Matter of fact, you're saying over 500 yards. Do you know how many yards he's rushed for so far?
I would guess it's probably not much better than 250 yards.
Right. So Crowell on the Jets hit 219 just last Sunday. And I know that, mm-hmm. you know, that was a rarity for them. It's not something that he goes and does week in and week out. But, mm-hmm. I mean, here's a running back that's nowhere near of the talent level or expectations as a Saquon Barkley. And already with just what he's done in one game, he's probably got more yards than Barkley has. And he's on a team that wasn't supposed to be as good as the team that Barkley's on. I just can't go with Barkley right now. Maybe by the next time we do this report, at the halfway point or at the nine-game point, I guess, right, we would be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be a little bit different. But as of right now, I mean, me personally, I just can't give it to him. I just can't.
I get it, Jeff. I get when you're looking at it from the outside, you kind of got to watch the kid play and realize and look at the things he's done and how whatever he's done to date has seriously just been based on sheer ability and not how well the team's played around him. The fact that he's involved in the passing game, he's a third down back, he can block, and he can run the football, and he's a great runner. It hasn't shown up yet, but he is a great runner. This kid is definitely all-world. He's the best player right now, rookie-wise. I'm not saying for the end of the season. It could change dramatically week to week. We'll see how it plays out. But at the halfway poll, which will be about the ninth game of the season, I guess, we'll take another look at it.
Well, you know, like I said, I hate to keep going back and forth with this, but, you know, you're saying that he has ability and everything else.
Oh,
but that's like saying that my grandfather was a great shortstop when he was alive and 20 years old. You know, my grandmother was able to cook for 50 people when she was in her prime and take care of 14 kids, and which she didn't have 14 kids, I'm just using. But, you know, Barkley just, he's not, football is a complete team sport. The only one that could dictate a team, a game more than a running back or any other position player is a quarterback. And without that offensive line, which the Giants don't have, they just don't have it. They're not going to scare anybody, mm-hmm. and they know to neutralize Barkley, and he has that one run each game, and I just don't see him being winning the Rookie of the Year. I mean, listen, he's a New York team, and this year I'm trying to look at both New York teams for the sake of the show, but I just don't see him getting that next level.
Well, like I said, I challenge you to watch a Giant game and watch the kid play and then tell me you're not impressed with his abilities, but it's a long season. I still believe that he will have a bunch of breakout games. He will have over 1,000 yards rushing when it's all said and done, which to me is still not a great season. I think for a great back, you need 1,400 yards or better. But I think he'll come out of the season over 1,000 and probably somewhere in the same for a receiver. I think he'll be 700-800 yards of receiving when it's all said and done. This kid will have 1,600 yards all-purpose running by the end of the year. So, but all-purpose yardage. So we'll see how it plays out at the halfway pole, week 9 in our book. We'll take another look at it, I'm sure, and the argument will continue throughout the entire season, Jeff.
Well, the one thing I got to say, Tom, I got to kind of agree with you on this one point, and that's if he does crack 1,000 yards, I would say that's a very successful season for him, only because he's not getting any cooperation up front.
Right.
He's not getting any blocking up front. So if he gets 1,000 yards at the end of the season and we're sitting here and he has 1,100 yards and say, 6 touchdowns on the ground, I would say that being the team that he was on, it was definitely a good season for him. But if it continues to go the way it's going and he ends up with, say, 800, 900 yards, I think it would be could be labeled a bit of a disappointment, but still somewhat successful only because of the offensive line he's had. Will he have a good game somewhere along the line in the season? I'm sure he's going to, of course. I mean, listen, if Crowell can get 200 yards, 220 yards, and the Jets could run for 300 yards against the Broncos, somewhere along the line, Barkley's going to have an amazing game. But to me, it's continuity, and so far the only continuity that he's shown is about 50 yards a game, give or take. He's been very good as a receiver. I mean, you can't take that away from the kid. But once again, a running back has to run.
Well, let me ask you this question. What if he runs for 750, okay, which would be a little disappointing, but he had 1,700 yards. Well, let's say a little short. Let's say he has 1,500 yards all-purpose. He's going to put 1,500 yards in the books for the season between running and receiving. Would that impress you?
On that team, yeah. On that team, yeah. But as an all-purpose, but he's not, to me, he's not an all-purpose back. You know what I mean? I think they're making him an all-purpose back. I just would like to see him be better on the ground than what he's doing through the air. I understand that both of them are helping his team, but I'm looking at him, maybe I'm looking at him the wrong way. I'm looking at him as strictly a running back.
Yes,
and
that's
the
problem.
What's that?
Yes, that is the problem. You are putting him, you're pigeonholing him in the sense of just being a great running back. And while, yes, I still believe that potentially he will be a 12 or 1,400 yard a year back when they put an offensive line in front of him that can block if he's lucky enough. But I will take a back of his magnitude who could be on the field for all three downs, can catch. And I mean, not just catch the ball out of a backfield, but to be a downfield receiver, block the way he does and run the football. To me, he's going to be, and I'm going to tell you, within the next couple of years, he will be considered one of the best all-around backs in football. But right up there with the best of them. I'm telling you, I watch him every single week.
Well, you know what, Tom? I hear you. I understand what you're saying. But here's the thing. There's only a few running backs in the league that people, I think, are legitimately worried about. And a lot of teams have running back by committee. So, I mean, you know, to me, years ago, when we first started watching football, the running back was very important. And a lot of these running backs were going for monster yards when you had, like, an Eric Dickerson and, you know, that was running nonstop. But because that was the focal point of their offense. But now that the offense is more pass-orientated, you know, he just needs a little bit more cooperation up front to make him more successful. And you know, let's face it, a hundred yard game every game for an NFL running back equates to over 1,600 yards. You know, that depending on what they get, but you're looking for at least 100 yards. So if he got 100 yards each game, you're talking 1,600 yards.
Yep.
And I just don't see him coming anywhere near that this year. I would say that he's going to get a handful of 100-yard games, but I don't think he's going to get the number that you were hoping.
He's averaging 100 yards a game now, Jeff. He's got over 500 yards all-purpose. So I think
about rushing yards. Forget all-purpose yards.
Yep.
This is an old Giant fan ploy of yours, man.
A ploy?
You got to find every little bit to hold on to to get him in there.
Jeff, it's not me. Read the papers. People, I can
I'm reading. I'm looking for rushing.
I got it. But you're pigeonholing him. And here's why I tell you it's so important, Jeff. Go back through history. To me, the greatest running back of all time was, in my opinion, Walter Payton. Why was Walter Payton the greatest running back of all time? Because he could run the football as good, really well. He was a great receiver. He could actually throw the football well. He was a backup quarterback on some of those Bear teams early in his career. And he could block. Now, is he the greatest running back I've ever seen as far as being a runner? No. Barry Sanders, Eric Dickerson – we're better pure runners. But the best all-around running back, Tony Dorsett, Earl Campbell, might have been better running backs, a guy with a football in his hand. But Walter Payton was the greatest running back I ever saw because he can do everything really well. And that's Saquon Barkley. He might not be the greatest runner. I don't know yet. I haven't seen enough. But I will tell you, this kid's going to be a great all-around back.
You haven't seen enough because he can't get past the line of scrimmage.
I agree with that. I'm not arguing that. But when you watch him play and you see the things that he – I will tell you, Jeff, if you watch him one game, I will take you out. I will sit at the bar with you and watch a Giant game with you and point it out. He never gets tackled by the very first guy. Everybody misses the first time, but it's 2 yards in the backfield. You know, it's at the line of scrimmage. He never lets you get – he never seems to get hit and tackled by the very first guy. He's just a very elusive runner, and if he ever gets ahead of steam, he is unstoppable. It just hasn't happened, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and you're going to start this. You're going to change. At some point, you're going to come back and go, Tom, you're right. The guy, they started blocking for him, and he's piling up 80, 90, 100-yard games. It's going to happen. He's too good a back.
Okay, but now let me ask you something. Every once in a while, I play lotto, right? And I usually pick – when I do, my wife does it for the most part. So let's use her as an example. It's better.
Okay.
So she'll get one or two numbers a game. But if she picked another four or five numbers right, we'd be a millionaire. And if she was to do six numbers a week, we'd win lotto every week. Okay. Not a hard concept. Okay.
So for you to say that
he's being successful when he's only hitting one or two numbers out of the weekly lottery. It isn't. I understand your point, but it's just not what you expect a running back to be. Give me the define running back to me. I want you to give me the pure definition of the words running back.
Again, what is the purpose of the running back? Is a running back the
purpose. I want you to define the words running back. I want you to define running back for me.
A guy who runs a player who runs with the football.
Okay, what position does Saquon Barkley play?
Running back.
Okay. Well, now you're saying all-purpose yards.
Yes.
Now I understand that any single person on a team, with basically the exception of an offensive lineman on offense, could run the ball. And they call it rushing. So,
correct.
But running back is a position. So anybody could do anything offensively with the ball. Okay. Especially if they bring them in special situations. And they say, okay, the center's going to line up as a running back for this play because he weighs 340 pounds. Nobody's going to stop him. And he's going to burst through from the 3-yard line and score for us. Okay? But Saquon Barkley is a running back.
Mm-hmm.
And as a running back, he's not being very successful because of that offensive line. But as a Giant fan, you will argue it's great, man. I love this. You will argue that fact all season long because he got a few extra yards someplace.
I'm arguing a fact. The fact of the matter is, in the NFL today, based on what running backs are asked to do, the Le'Veon Bells of the world and backs like that, Todd Gurley, not only do they run the ball, but they're big out of the backfield. And some of the biggest weapons in the NFL, and you said it, right now the quarterback is still the main focus, and they don't really care how much you run with the football. It's more about all-purpose yards, how much you can do with a football in a game. Listen to me. Let's put it this way, Jeff. If I gain 100 yards a game running the football and catching it, am I not achieved the same thing as if I primarily ran the football? Is it that the end result to try to make sure – look at a receiver. A receiver's great game is 100 yards. A back's great game is 100 yards. If I catch a swing pass and run for 15 yards or take a handoff and run it for 15 yards, at the end of the day, if I wind up with over 100 yards a game, have I not accomplished what I've been asked to do?
You have, yes, without a doubt. You can't deny that. But, and you know why you got to look for the butt, Tom?
I wouldn't expect anything different.
It's almost like half-assing 100 yards.
That's so full of shit. That's wrong.
You did get 100 yards, and you can't deny that. You can't deny that. But as a running back, you only got about 40 of those yards on the ground. Now, I understand that there's – when you look at the NFL stats, there's passing, there's receiving, and there's rushing. I have never once ever seen a category of all-purpose yards.
Sure there are. Oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. I'm telling you, you go do me – just Google best – I mean, Roger Craig. I mean, there are guys who are possible Hall of Famers because they've been all-around back. And, again,
I know,
if
but
I
I'm
gave,
talking yearly stats.
Well,
if you look
you
at offensive stats in football, they have kicking for field goals. They have punters average. They have receiving. They have rushing. And they have passing. They don't look and keep – I'm sure they keep the stat of – I know they keep the stat. Don't get me wrong. But there's no category for all-purpose yards. There's no category for it. There's nobody wins the trophy, the Earl Campbell Award for all-purpose yards in 2018. There's nobody wins that trophy.
Right out of the New York Post. Okay? Right out of the newspaper. Offensive rookie, Saquon Barkley, 260 rushing yards. Now, again, at the quarter point of the season, 260 – is at the end of the season is an average of almost just about 1,000 yards, maybe a little bit more. So at the quarter point,
about
he's on his way to 1,000 yards. Okay. Saquon Barkley, 260 yards rushing, 3 TDs, 27 receptions. Runner up, Calvin Ridley. Every single person that is out there putting these stuff out there, if you don't have him as the number one rookie of the year, he's number two. And again, At the end of the season, I will tell you, he'll be very close to 1,000 yards rushing, and he'll probably have 600 or 700 yards receiving, probably 6 or 8 touchdowns, again, all being healthy. You know, if he has 60 receptions, 70 receptions for 700, 800 yards and near 1,000 yards receiving, Jeff, it's a good season. It might be a great season.
I'm not saying it's not a good season, Tom. I'm not saying it's not a good season. As an overall player, that would be a great season. But what I am saying, though, as of a running back, if he doesn't crack 1,000 yards and put a good dent over 1,000 yards, it's just an average season. And then you're getting your stats from the New York Post. I laugh at the New York Post. I can't take anything in the Post seriously, man.
Oh, boy.
Let me ask you something, not to change the subject, but just to use
an
example.
Why would we do that?
Okay. Do you get any of your political news from the New York Post?
Yes, all of my political news comes from the New York Post. The Daily News is a liberal rag.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I am not a Trump man. I do not like the man personally. But, yeah, you are right. They are just bashes. So let me use the Daily News as an example, okay?
Yes.
You don't get your political news from the New York Daily News, right?
Nope.
Yeah, they have some nice pictures once in a while, but you don't get real news from the Daily News. It's almost like the National Enquirer at this point.
That's correct.
Okay. So now, if you can't get your world news from the Daily News, how could you get your sports news from there? And the New York Post isn't that far behind the Daily News. They're just not as openly biased against everybody mm-hmm. as the New York Daily News is, which leads me to believe that the New York Post is biased towards the Giants and is overinflating his numbers.
Again, I am on the NFL website, or MSN Sports, and they show, I don't know if this is 100% accurate, but they show Saquon Barkley as 308 yards rushing for a 4.3 average.
I don't know. I mean, I would have to look, but that comes out to about 60 yards a game.
Hold on, Jeff. Hold on one second. What's the matter? Something wrong with his nose?
What is that? You've never had that before. I don't know if it's a tick.
I can't see it in this light. Yeah, I see it now, but I don't think it's a tick.
It's huge.
I know. What's the tick? What's the vet? I'm checking. Hey, poor guy. Sorry, I'm checking out my dog. But he's number 12.
No, Tom, listen, we are
right
never going to be taken seriously if you think you're a vet while we're on the air, man.
Yes. Listen, he's ahead of Alvin Kamara from the Saints, one of the best backs in the league, Sony Michel, Adrian Peterson, David Johnson. I mean, he's number 12 in the league as a running back. 71 attempts, 308 yards. Again, 4.3 average, 3 touchdowns, and a long of 60-something. I mean, again, not great, but he's averaging 4.3 yards a carry. Jeff,
okay.
I mean,
I can only believe the numbers that you're telling me.
I'm reading it right out of the thing.
Looking at his weekly stats, I find those numbers hard to believe, but they are what they are. But
yeah, the Post has something different, but I'm reading what's here. Again, I think it's going to come down to the end of the year, but I will tell you, there are certain players you need to watch play the game to really go, that guy knows what he's doing. Like this, if you look at Sam Darnold's numbers, you're not going to be impressed. If you watch Sam Darnold play, you say that guy's an NFL quarterback. It's the difference of simple looking, letting your eye tell you what you're reading doesn't make sense. And I'm telling you, if you watch Saquon Barkley play, you will be impressed.
That to me is a very good comparison. It really is. But the thing to me is simply this, okay? When it comes to quarterbacking and running backs, a quarterback could be the smartest man on the offensive side of the ball. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Because they have to read defenses. They have to make adjustments. There's a lot of things that an NFL quarterback has to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not just call up a few signals and hand the ball off.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, a running back doesn't have nearly the same responsibilities as a quarterback.
I agree. Agreed.
So then, with that being said,
mm-hmm.
we are now in agreement that Saquon Barkley is just.
No,
it's not.
No, I'm even more impressed when I go to NFL reference, profootballreference.com. Again, it's simple. The guy's averaging four yards a rush for the season. He's got 308 yards at the fifth game. So if he follows that, and again, you're the first one to say he's been average at best, hasn't had a breakout game. He's on pace for over 900 yards. At this point, almost 1,000 yards based on this. Jeff, this guy's going to have 1,000-yard rushing just by osmosis and probably – and he's averaging yards per game. I'm trying to see if they're giving an average. I'm not seeing average, but he's got 2280, 102, 136. He's got over 300-and-something yards of receiving. He's almost going to be 2,000 yards of all-purpose. That means when he's on the field this year, he's averaging – over 120 yards of offense a game. Jeff, that's I don't care
it
if you
just
rush
going
front,
up.
Receive,
I don't know.
Front, get you. I could care less.
I don't know, man. I think we need to wait a little bit before
absolutely.
We really anoint this man.
I will not argue that point at all, Jeff. I think you're 100% right. I will just tell you that I don't think the word bust or the word disappointing should be anywhere near this kid at this point. And I challenge everybody to watch the kid play. I'm going to watch. I taped the Giant game Sunday. I did not get to watch the whole thing. This weekend, I have plenty of time. I will be in front of my TV watching Giant football tomorrow night. We'll be on the air, Thursday night for part of the game. I will tape that game and watch it over the weekend in its entirety, plus last week's game, because I want to watch a great player every game. So, what else you got, Jeff? Anything else?
There's not saying that he's not a great player. Don't get me wrong. You would have to be an idiot to say he's not a great player.
Right.
So, but okay. I can't anoint him the way other people are.
Jeff. Yeah. Understood completely. But again, I think you'll come around as the season moves along and you follow his stats and as much of the game as you watch, I will tell you'll get more impressed though. But Jeff, we're about 40 minutes past our deadline. Do you have anything else or are we gonna wind this down?
Yeah, man, it's time to wind it down. We winding it down and I gotta push something out.
Well, guys, that's another episode of the NFL Recap for week number 5 in the NFL. We thank you all for listening in. A big thanks to our sponsor, RFO Records, for sponsoring this and all episodes of the NFL Recap Show. Make sure you come back next Tuesday, 7 to 8. Well, 7 to 8:30 seems to be the average at this point, but 7 to 8, where we will break down week number 6 of the NFL for you. Remember, tomorrow night, Pass the Mic show with Mike Passamonte and Carl Graham from 6 to 8 Eastern Time. And, of course, come on back Thursday night where Hard Rock and Sports, the mothership, launches at 6:30 at night, where Jeff and I give you all the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, sports and a lot of football. So, guys, I want to thank everybody for checking in tonight, everybody on Facebook who's up along. Again, big thanks to RFO Records. Remember, Lift says their album Chronicles out. We're going to have the boys on soon. Patrick Fafia is going to be calling in one of these weeks and a lot more stuff. But a big thanks to everybody tonight. And again, big thanks to the host of the show for pulling it all together and keeping it fun for me for an hour and 40 minutes. So, Jeff, thanks, brother.
Yeah, listen, dude, it's a lot of fun because we just breaking your balls is so much fun over this stuff, man. It really is.
We enjoy it. We're passionate and it's a lot of fun. And we'll do it again every week for the next probably another 10 or 11 weeks. So hopefully you guys will keep checking in with us and make sure you check out hardrockandsports.com and everybody get out and support your local music. There's plenty of stuff coming up and I'll give you some breakdowns of all the bands playing on Thursday. But for tonight, I will say to Jeff, this is it. But Jeff, whether it's the mothership or the NFL Recap Show, we can only end an episode one way. Do you know what that is?
Of course, man, of course.
And here it is.
Stage is that moose, you know. And
so when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
So for Jeff Towinski, myself, and everybody here at Hard Rock and Sports, I want to say thank you for checking out the NFL Recap Show for week number 5 and our quarter of the season at the 5th game breakdown. Come on back next week when we do it all over again, breaking down week number 6. So again, for Jeff Towinski, Tom Florio, and everybody at Hard Rock and Sports, have a great night. Have a great 2 days, and we'll see you on Thursday. Jeff, have a great night. Jeff, great job, brother.
Same here, bro. A lot of fun again, as usual, and looking forward to Thursday already.
Yep. Talk to you tomorrow. All right, everybody, have a good night, and we'll see you on Thursday. Okay.
Later, man.